Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by Patreon listeners like you. If you would like to join their ranks, go to patreon.com/rethebard. That's patreon.com/RITHEBARD. And follow Sherry on all the various social networks at rethebard. That's RITHEBARD. And now, from the studios in San Diego, California, here's Sherry.
Hi, welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to chat with Mary D. Brooks. She's an Australian writer who is also very popular in the United States. She wrote a series of stories on Eva and Zoe, and she's written this is her second play. She's written for Sherry's Playhouse, and we're very excited. And this interview is recorded earlier. At the time of the recording, we didn't know the date the play was going on, so I wanted to give that to you now as sort of like a heads up. The play will be on March 31st at 6:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we're really excited about it. So here's Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here.
G'day. In a very timely manner. Yes. Hello. G'day.
Very Australian.
Yes. I am here.
How is Sydney right now?
Hot.
Hot.
Hot. Very hot. It's February, which means it's hot and humid. It's a wonderful place if you live in Miami. But if it's very hot if you like humid weather.
You're going into your fall right now?
We should be. We're not there yet. But we'll get there. We've got a few more weeks of hot and humid weather.
Because you're February, or August, just before the fall, it's hot and humid here.
Yeah. March is pretty much a continuation of February with a little less humidity. But, yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to winter. which is very similar to LA weather.
So. Yes. From what you and my other friends in Australia have told me, your weather is almost exactly like Los Angeles and San Diego, Southern California weather.
Yes, but without the smog. yes, nearly exactly the same. So pretty mild.
Well, San Diego has less smog than L.A.
Sydney has less smog, yeah. It has got mountains on one side, which is the Blue Mountains, and then we have the sea on the other side. So it gets blown out into the sea, while LA is more in a basin than anything else. So it kind of gets trapped. Yeah. So
yeah,
LA is there. So
it's worse than the valley where I grew up.
Mm.
Because the valley.
Yeah, first time I was in LA, we were driving down the freeway, and there was so much smog I couldn't even see the mountains, because on the way back, it had cleared, and I thought, "Ooh, there's mountains behind there." So that was new. It was very smoggy when I first arrived in LA. Back in 2001. So it's gotten better since then.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, they've worked really hard to bring the smog down. The smog's actually, like, I'd say 80% better than it was from, when I grew up, you could have taken a bite out of it. That's how thick the smog.
I remember when I first flew to LA for the first time, we were coming in for a landing, and it was just so black. The clouds were so black, and I thought, oh, we're going in for a storm. And the guy sitting next to me says, no, that's not clouds, that's smog. And I thought, that's interesting. So that was my first introduction to LA.
Well, it's better. It's better now. And like I said, yes. I live in San Diego now, and our smog problem isn't a tenth of what it is in LA.
I've been to San Diego. Very nice place.
It is a very nice place. Very nice.
Mm.
And by the ocean, just like L.A. So
yes.
I'm an ocean baby. No matter what, I'm always seem to be right by the ocean. And if I'm not, I'm by a great lake.
You have the Navy down there or something, right?
Yeah, the Navy and the Marines.
Yes.
Camp Pendleton.
Mm.
And there's the Camp Pendleton is the Navy. No, Camp Pendleton is the Marine base. And then the Navy base is on Coronado Island. I can't remember what the name of it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful town.
It is. And they have a lot of great museums and parks. And there's a lot of culture here.
Mm.
Very nice. So next time you come.
I should visit again one day. I have to visit again, yes.
And visit with me.
Well, that's a great idea. I didn't think of that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So if you're here, say hi.
I will.
So we are embarking on another adventure together. You've written a
yes.
new play.
I have. It's very light. It's a romantic comedy, just the way I like it. It's about promises. And if we make a promise, or in what my character Zoe has a saying that says, a promise is a promise. You make a promise, you have to keep it. So it's a lighthearted romp set in 1948. And she made a promise to Eva when they were in a refugee camp after World War II. And she intends to keep that promise. So that's the whole idea of the play. It's it's Zoe at her madcap best. I love writing her. She's so funny. And you just never know what she's up to.
It's a really fun play. It's all the familiar characters from A Witchy Night.
Uh-huh.
Well, but most of them.
Yes, there's a couple missing from Witchy Night, but all the main characters are back. So there's Zoe and Eva and Eleanor and Earl and Henry, and there's a new character. Debbie, and I think it's funny. It's a little bit. It's about what we do for those we love. So, a lighthearted comedy, but there's a message in there as well.
See, that's the best kind.
And
a comedy that has a heart and a message. I think that's
yeah.
my favorite.
Yeah, it doesn't hit you over the head with it, but it's a lighthearted thing because nowadays I think we need a little bit of light in because we have some really dark things going on in the world, and I think we need some light to be in our lives. So, yeah, Zoe's promise is that light. And I had a lot of fun writing it.
The thing is, it's really just a fun romp. It's really sweet. It's very funny. Very lovable.
Yeah. And Zoe just goes absolutely nuts. She's such a lovable character. But she was fully formed in my head in the year 2000. So I think it's a very rare thing for a character to be fully formed already. But she sprang forth fully formed in all her snarky best.
So you know what? It sort of popped in my head, Aphrodite from the ocean coming up fully formed.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. But with Callisto's one-liners. Yes. That's Zoe. You don't want to mess with Zoe.
No, don't mess with Zoe.
Yeah. And it's also about loyalty and being true to yourself. So it's a great little piece.
Witchy did very well. So I have a feeling it was very popular. People really loved it. Got a lot of good notices.
Thank you. And thank you to you guys.
Really well.
You guys performed it. Yeah. I had such a fabulous time listening to that. It was fantastic. And hearing all the voices.
I was like pulling my hair out, like, she's going to kill me.
No. I wasn't going to kill anybody. Well, no. No, I wasn't going to kill anyone. But it was so much fun to listen to. And it was the first, it was my first play. So, something special. You never forget your first, right? So, yeah. So it's like your first book, your first play. Yeah. So
one of the reasons I started Sherry House was so people who wrote plays or who were authors and had never written a play had a chance to experiment. So,
yes.
And I kind of talked you into it too.
yes, you did. You had to twist my arm.
I did.
Which is actually kind of funny in the way.
Weird. To actually write it.
Yes. So like, Mary, do you want to do it? Well, you got to do it. Well, okay. It's not a lot of arm twisting, but...
you write
visually.
It works.
I do because I can see it in my head as a movie. So it's easy for me to write it because... when I first started writing, when I was around 8 or 10, I started writing scripts. And dialogue is, I love writing dialogue. So it was kind of going back to my original fanfic of my preteen days. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to doing more. If you have me back, that is. Yeah. She goes, you're not getting out of this.
I'm not getting out of it. I started it, so I'm not getting out of it.
I'm not getting out of it. But it was a really fun thing to do. And it's very different from novel writing, where the emphasis is on the dialogue, obviously, because it's a radio play. And I had a lot of fun writing it, and I'm going to turn that eventually into a novella similar to A Ouija Night. But the radio play is first. So, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to hearing it. Fun. So much fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It'll be on Easter weekend. I think it's going to be on, it's either going to be on the Saturday or the Monday. We're still working out the logistics of it. But it's going to be that weekend.
Oh, so, awesome, because I've been getting asked about it, and I'll go, well, I don't know yet, but I'll let you know. So now
we're zeroing in.
Sort of date.
And by the time the show broadcasts, we'll have a date.
Excellent. That sounds great.
And I will put a note at the end of the show what the date is so everybody knows.
Excellent. That would be awesome. Something to look forward to.
The funny thing is, you were saying that as a novelist, it's not the same, but we do audiobooks now, so we have to hear other people do the voices of our books. So it's sort of now similar because when you did your audiobook of your, isn't it weird to hear? it's sort of
I don't
like,
have any audiobooks of my books.
Oh, you haven't done that yet?
No, I have tinkered with the idea. I have commissioned somebody to do one in the Blood of the Greeks, but that hasn't happened yet. And somebody is doing a Ouija night as well as an audiobook, but that hasn't happened yet either. So that's in the works. I don't think I should.
Have you heard them do it?
Never mind.
Have you heard them do it? Yeah.
No, I haven't heard anything yet. So the two people who are doing those books are pretty proficient in it. So I've yet to hear anything. So the only audio I've heard from my books is A Ouija Night. So, oh, and the film promo, which I saw it. So that's different.
Yes.
That's something really special to see with the film promo that we did for my books, to see actually somebody repeat the words you wrote.
Yeah.
And I can see why screenwriters are so enamored with their profession, because that would really blow my mind. But as for audiobooks, that's still to happen. Yeah.
It's interesting because this is my second time doing it. I did one for Fantasy Time, Inc. It was different for that than entering my second half because that's my life. That was a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
Fantasy Time, Inc. was fiction. It wasn't real. So it was really cool listening to all the characters come to life for that. But when someone is it hasn't been published yet. We're still working on it, but when someone's reading what you wrote about your life and it's your life, it's just bizarre.
It has to be mind-blowing, especially hearing, your life and the words that you've written come back to you.
Yeah. And, you know, some of it's very personal and some of it is harder times and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
It's funny because I've heard it twice now, and it's like every time I get to the harder parts of it, I start crying, and it's like, it's not like I don't know what's coming. I even have my book open so because I'm checking the words with what she's saying, but I still start crying.
Well, it is your life, so I'm quite sure there are moments where there are or feelings or emotions that you were experiencing at the time that doesn't come through in the book, but you remember them and you remember how you felt. So naturally you're going to be quite emotional over it. So that's quite an experience, I would say.
It is. It's a very nice girl who's doing the audio. She's taking... you know, what I say very well, and we're working really well together, and it's fun. But it's just...
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I hope you like it. You read my book, so you know what it is.
Yes, I did. I really liked it.
Thank you.
Your cover's good, too.
Mary did my cover. My idea was...
Cut on the head for Mary.
Wait a minute. And next thing I know, I get a pop-up on my Facebook Messenger of a fully blown cover. I'm like, whoa! You like it? Wait, let me fix the color.
I wasn't asked, but here's the cover. There you go. Use it.
I didn't ask.
No.
Great. This thing, and you said, "Oh, well, hold on a minute," and you totally changed it. You see, anybody who's seen the cover of my book sees how amazing it is, and I'm like, "Oh my God, Mary! Wait, I'm not done."
cover design on the fly. That's Mary.
it was amazing. She's very talented.
I really enjoyed the book. As you mentioned earlier, I'm a visual person, so as I'm reading, I can visualize certain things. And it usually happens when I'm reading a book and I'm enjoying it. I can actually create the cover in my head, which is really bad because if the cover's already done and you go, oh, I think I would like to do the cover of that. But, the only problem I have with covers is my own, which is kind of weird. Well, I take a long time to actually figure out what I want on the cover, which is rather bizarre if you think about it, because I've written it and I should know what's on the cover, but I'm in two minds about what needs to be there. And I'll keep changing my mind. So, yeah, I just need a cover artist to say, this is the cover, deal with it, get on with it. So, but yours was dead set easy. Oh, it was a walk in the park.
It was just funny. Because I said, I think I showed you the baby picture that I wanted on the cover.
Yes.
And this is what I'd like the letters to be. And I was just describing stuff, and it was all writing because we were talking on Messenger. And next thing I know, popped up in front of me.
Yes. I enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoyed doing that. So when I haven't got my writer hat on, I've got my graphic design hat on. And when I haven't got that hat on, I've got the web design hat on. And eventually I'll find time to have a relaxing hat on, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet. So we'll see.
Relaxing hat. That's a really important hat.
Yes.
You gotta relax.
Yeah, I need a relaxing hat, but and a sleep hat. So eventually I'll find it. I just need to find out where to download more time. So,
I need my relaxing hat. Where is it? Where is it hiding?
I'll go and stick my relaxing hat. I've got a Gabrielle beanie, so I think that could act as a relaxing hat. So,
oh,
but it's fun. It's fun. It's fun doing all of that. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And whatever makes you happy, you know.
You're very talented.
Thank you very much. It's just life can get you down sometimes, and if you do something that makes you happy, go for it, because life's short. So if it makes you happy to do something, then do it, if it's legal, that is. and if it doesn't hurt anybody and you enjoy it, then go and do it. Because if you don't do it, well, you're going to miss out.
Yeah.
So even if you're not good at it, if you think you're not good at it, you'll get better. Everybody can get better if they practice at something.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you working on any new stuff?
I am. I'm actually working on, other than Zoe's Promise, I'm working on two books, excuse me for a moment, while I cough. Sorry about that. I'm working on Mabel of the Anzacs. I don't think a lot of Americans know what ANZACS means. It's the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps, and they were formed in World War One, where Australia and New Zealand formed came together to go into battle, and it focuses on the nurses of World War One, and again, it's in the history of Zoe and Eva, and it's about heroic nurses of World War One, and how Zoe meets one of them, and how who is called Mabel, and how Mabel influences Zoe, and how she perceives her world. So I thought it was time to focus on World War One nurses, because they were quite heroic. World War One and World War Two nurses, because they were so heroic, and their deeds are not reported as much as the soldiers. And I thought, yeah, why not? And it all stems from a desire to learn more about. When I was doing research, I went into a rabbit hole and came out the other side, basically learning more about Australian nurses during World War One. That inspired me to start writing this. It started out as a novella, but I think it's going to turn into a novel. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's the story of Mabel of the Anzacs. And
What is the difference between ANZAC and ANZAC?
Nothing. An ANZAC, or the ANZAC, is the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. ANZACs are the soldiers, I think, that form that corps. So we have Anzac Day, which is which for me is quite, I hold it quite sacred, that day, because it's giving honour and respect to those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom,
mm-hmm.
and for those young men and women who gave so much. And that's held every April 25th. So, and I'm hoping to get the book out by April 25th. So, So it's quite special for me. And I try, and what I'm going to try and do that is have the fiction part in the beginning, being the majority of the book, and also have a little bit of history at the end. And learn more about some of the nurses that that were quite heroic in by going to the battlefields and tending to the wounded men. Heroism that was just unbelievable. And yes, that's the premise of that novel.
I learned some stuff about World War One and ANZAC through Miss Fisher, Murder Mysteries, because Bryony was a nurse and Jack was a soldier.
Right.
But started reading up on it on my own. What amazes me is they went from Gallipoli right to World War One, and it was like blind. It was horrible. I mean, they two countries who lost so many people, and then England lost so many people. It's a bloodbath.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. There's a story I don't think a lot of people know. I certainly didn't know it until I started researching, is the Battle of Fromelles, where the Australians were involved. They lost over 9,000 men on that one day, which was the highest number of casualties they ever had. And what was so interesting about Vermouth was the Australians were battling the... They were being outgunned by the Germans. And what was interesting about that battle was that there was a young corporal on the German side by the name of Adolf Hitler. He was in the battle for Vermouth. So we could have avoided over 6 million plus deaths had this guy been killed at Vermouth, but he wasn't. So it was fascinating history. There's a book about Vermouth that an Australian writer has written, Peter Fitzsimons. It's about Vermouth and Pozieres, and it's a fascinating dissection of the battle. And that also influenced me in the book of the Mabel of the Anzacs, where Vermouth is mentioned and how it influenced Mabel. And I'm not going to say any more because I'll give it away. But, yes.
Be married.
Sorry. What was that? Take
story away.
No, don't. Oh, there's a lot more to this than, what I'm saying. But the whole history about and Gallipoli being such a bloodbath.
Oh,
And they were sent to the wrong cove. And the Turks, and if you think about what happened at Gallipoli, is that the Turks honoured the Australians by renaming that cove Anzac Cove,
yeah.
Which is, if you think about it, it's mind-blowing. Sure. And it was a disaster. It was Australia's version of Dunkirk.
Yep.
If we can equate it with a similar situation, and it was quite powerful. So I was influenced a lot by those events. So it's quite an emotional book. I get quite emotional about it because all the research I did and so forth.
What's really strange is my grandpa was in World War One, but he never told us about the war part. So I don't even know where he was.
Yeah.
He talked about a German Shepherd dog who used to hide under the bed every time they got shelled. I mean, he told us other stories like that. But I don't even know where he was. I don't even know what part of the war he was in. I knew he was there. I mean, I have pictures. But he never talked. So I have no history of it.
Yeah, it's. I don't think those people who went through such a horrendous time would want to talk about it. I know my grandmother who went through Auschwitz never talked about it.
I know a lot of Holocaust survivors will not talk about it. Well, they're gone.
No.
Knew them when I was a kid, they would not talk about it. Even though I was studying it and I was asking questions, they were very gentle about, I was very gentle about asking, and they were very gentle about answering because I was about 12 or 13 when I was taking the class. So they didn't want, they didn't want to really tell me some of the stuff. But no, they didn't want to talk about it. Not really. But because I was, and because I had this big, thick book full of information from my religious school, they helped me. But at the same time, it was sort of like my grandpa. They told me what they thought I could handle.
Yes. Yeah. My grandmother didn't say anything to me. She just gave me a book called I Am Rosemarie by Marietta Dean Moskin. And it was a fictional account, or fictional in the sense it took real-life stories. and blended them into a fictional story of a 16-year-old going through the concentration camp and the Holocaust. So that gave me a very good idea of what went on, but not the true horror of it. So,
the first book I ever read was Anne Frank.
Mm.
That was the first book
yeah.
I ever read. I think I was about 9 or... I saw the movie, and I'm weird. You know this about me, Mary. If I see a movie that
yes.
touches me, I have to read the book.
Yes. Yeah. I think people who have gone through that, the last thing they would do is talk about it because it's so fresh in their minds. Even
oh, yeah.
years later. Yeah. Like I've seen... documentaries and testimonials where the person who's recounting that is in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and they well up, and it's as if it happened yesterday. So it would scar them for life mentally. So it's understandable that they wouldn't talk about it. And the last thing they, yeah.
Robert Clary, do you remember Hogan's Heroes?
Yes.
Robert Clary played LeBeau?
Yes.
Do you know he was a Holocaust survivor?
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, the reason
wow.
why he always had long sleeves on was to cover up the tattoo.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
And he talked about it for the first time... Oh, about 10 years ago. And
he went and did Hogan's Heroes?
I actually met him after I found out. And I said
right.
to him, he signed the picture and CD that he did. And I was asking him, I said, how did you do Hogan's Heroes for 5 years after what you went through? And he goes, Sherry, it was nonsense. It was silly. It was nothing like what the war was. So it was an acting job.
Yes.
Yeah. Because if you think about how the heroes, I mean,
yeah.
really, it was silly.
It was, yeah, and Sergeant Schultz not knowing anything at any time. That it was just pure farce. So the real thing was not farce. So
no.
But
that's why I asked him. I think, how could you do that? How could you play, you know, LeBeau and be friendly with Schultz? And he goes, because there would never have been a Schultz. Schultz was sweet and kind,
true.
And people like that were not guards.
Yes, that's true.
And he said,
I've done research that now.
It was fascinating, and he was very nice about it because I'm sure to answer at a collectible show, but that's me. I do things like that.
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still, I believe he's still around, Robert Clary.
Hmm. I should go and read up.
Yeah. He there was like I think it was because of Steven Spielberg interviewing all of the Holocaust survivors. I think he was one of the Holocaust survivors
right.
that talked to Spielberg.
Mm.
And that's where it came through.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I Robert Clary, I went, oh, my God, LeBeau.
Yeah, didn't know that. That was just, that's fascinating.
Yeah. I was stunned.
Hmm.
Anyway,
yeah.
we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
me. I will everybody know very soon what the date for the show is. And go ahead.
Yay.
Okay.
I was hearing.
Yay.
Yay!
Okay. Anyway, thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for having me, Sherry.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry. Again, the show Zoe's Promise will be on March 31st, which is a Saturday, at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for listening to the show.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by listeners like you. You can support this program by leaving a rating or a review at iTunes, at Sherry's Patreon account, patreon.com/readthebard, or by following Sherry on all the various social media at readthebard. That's R-I-T-H-E-B-A-R-D. Once again, that's readthebard. R-I-T-H-E-B-A-R-D. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.